I need to go back and tango with that bastard. the trackball. I might be able to play it.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. I mean, that's
like the one game that actually works better with a trackball than a regular mouse.
Welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Vince Stone here at LGC Actual, switching the bits, doing the nightmare fuel all under Linux, joined every week by our slightly engorged Canadian podcaster, Jordan's friend. Maybe if we get lucky, if we cross our pinky toes, his camera will genuinely just die halfway through the show for no reason.
Yep.
Stayed up late.
No, I'm a Blue Man Group.
You know him, you love him, Pedro Mateus, the man on the island, and together with you at home, Shot Realm Dynamic, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. I got to come up with a thing. I was going to do the graphic. Ah, dang, I forgot. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we do have a big show for you tonight. A little bit of catch up. Pedro's got to squeal a little bit. Pedro is so excited to tell you about something. He filled in the show notes. So you know he's just going to be like vibrating.
It was about 10 minutes before we went live. But yes, I technically submitted those four words to the thing.
Technicality. Well,
two acronyms and a couple of words. But yes, you may remember that I've mentioned mostly on the Wednesday show that I ordered a PyBoy DMG back in September. It's finally here. Yeah, no, that took slightly over 2 months. It actually does work. Where's the switch? There it is. And it's a Raspberry Pi, so it takes a little bit to boot. But it plays everything because the Pi 4 is stupidly powerful. I'm pretty sure if RetroArch had a PS2 core, it could actually play PS2 games. And I changed the boot logo to look like the PlayStation one.
Nerd.
But yeah,
Sony's gonna sue somebody, as is Nintendo.
It says experimental Pi, and it's actually really nice. The battery life doesn't last all that long. It's only like 4,500 milliamp, 3.7 volt battery. So you get about, with the default settings that the experimental Pi image comes with, you get like 3.5 hours of battery playing Mega Drive games. I gave it to Nori to play, what was it, Sonic? She went through Sonic 1 and started Sonic 3. So, yeah. it's nice. There will be a review when I have a little bit of free time. So, yeah.
What's new with you, Jordan?
Things are going on. Still shopping around for gym equipment.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's like, oh yeah, we're going to shut everything down for a month, and then record high cases in Ontario means that it's going to stay shut down forever again.
No.
So been doing that. Been keeping on with the world building streams. I designed a dungeon on Friday. That was fun. Kyle and X joined me for that, so that was good stuff. Dicking around with Jack and Ardour and trying to wrap my brain around that.
It's pretty easy. Yeah. It's not bad.
It's not too bad, but there's like getting it to that right spot. I need to like train my brain to understand what the right stuff is.
We were talking about that in the pre super shows, and go back and listen to it. But yeah, there's stages of like setting up audio, and there's a definite danger in chasing that dragon. I'm like, oh, gotta get it. And you finally get it. I'm like, fuck it, it's good enough. Speaking of good enough, that is most certainly something this Microsoft product is not. Gentlemen, brace yourselves. I'm going to say something negative about Microsoft. I think I found a flaw in something the Microsoft shock has done.
If I had my monocle, it will have ejected at like Mach 2. My God.
Just cracked. Sorry, don't do
it. It just shatters into dust and just blood shoots out of my eye.
Acceptable as well. This is the, what did we determine? This was the Xbox One S.
Yes, because that has the Bluetooth.
Yeah. Yes. That I bought to replace my old Xbox wireless controller. And this is a not new one now, but to me, this one's new. I've had it for about a month, maybe right out of a month. Don't play a lot of games, but I have been playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, trying to get that working and just playing around with it. And I'm clicking hard as I can. It wouldn't do anything. This right bumper has gotten, the word intermittent is the word I used in the description.
I was going to say kaput.
Well on its way to kaput. And I thought to myself, I'm like, oh no, because I always worry about like just putting too much like gur into stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, was this my fault? Because in its defense, I was playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which Ubisoft, light attack, heavy attack, light, you know, right?
Mm-hmm. Ah, the Dark Souls thing. Okay. Yeah.
Like, maybe I wore it out. How long have I been? It's a BS number. It's probably more like 20 hours. But according to Steam, I have 31 hours into this game and started getting all jacked up. So, you know, fortunately, I bought it from a overlord Amazon, and Amazon's like, I get you, fam. No, the one's in the mail. I'm like, cool. All right. I'll just put the little sticker on that and you can have it back. Decided when I get back home today. When's this other one show up? Just out of curiosity. You know, I have other controllers. This is not make or break next month. Because, yeah. Yeah. It took me so long to buy this thing because it was never in stock on the regular times. You know, when the dark times began. But now we're in the holidays of the dark times, so.
The darker times. The darkest times, even.
Yeah, I will have sent this back, and they will have confirmed it before. More than likely, they ship the replacement. So good job, Microsoft. Oh, that's another thing I want to point out. Don't you? You do feel a little bit better when you start Googling your problem on anything and just like, oh, this is a problem with these. Okay.
Mm.
Yeah. Right, bumper too. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so. I know the Switch has some problems, especially with like the right Joy-Con. It will desync sometimes.
The drift.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. Doesn't drift as sick as our horse, though.
I mean, the horse pulled the handbrake and it just splayed out across the ground. Yeah. Nay, it's the Steam
Linux
update of the week.
And of course, well, it's been a while since we talked about the Steam survey. About a month. but yeah, no, the November 2020 numbers have rolled around and Valve updated the page as usual. So yeah, you can see that Linux is still very much at not 0.90%, which holding is steady. Where we were last mm-hmm. time. So yeah, it is very much along what you'd already expect. The most popular CPU is still Intel. Anything from 3.7 gigahertz and above.
It's losing some ground, though. It is.
It is slowly, but it is.
Well, you were making note of AMDs, right?
Yeah, like I was looking at it. Intel CPU usage overall on Linux has dropped, while AMD has come back up. And I think, yeah, it's the holiday season. We're seeing people like, oh, now I can go buy my nice new Ryzen system, where my $350 chip outperforms the $900 chip. Well, I mean, you don't even need the big boys anymore. The little crappy ones are better than whatever Intel has.
Well, I think there's definitely something to it, man. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's like CPU or video. I'm sure Intel is making money on CPUs just because, like, hey, we're in stock.
They have stock, right? Yes.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but speaking of AMD, the RX 480 is continuing to gain quite a bit of traction under Linux, according to the Steam article.
Yeah, and secondhand, those are pretty cheap. Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for, like, a, you know, $100 to $150 card that you're going to be able to do some 1080p gaming on, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, and if it's also very interesting because you can flash the RX 480 or 590 BIOS on an RX 480. So, yeah, that's always an interesting proposition. You might as well buy two at that point because you might also brick your GPU.
Crossfire!
Well, that and maybe one of them was mined and, you know, who knows?
Yes.
Have some fun. It's good to see. AMD, it'll be interesting to see, you know, about 3 months from now where the adoption is, because I think we're going to see a big spike with AMD on both CPU and GPU. And that's always good. Competition. It's fun times. Mm. Proton, We got a new version of that out, 5.13. Don't call it a release. It's a release candidate. It's testing. It's Proton Next. A couple of things in here. Something that I've noticed had been a thing. I did not know it was an issue with Proton. I just thought it was maybe some of the games I was playing. They have restored controller hot plugging. They fixed the thing with Mango, so that works. Thank you, mysterious Valve employee and or contractor. And I noticed with Assassin's Creed, the Origins, no more black bars. That's the reason I was using Proton GE 21 or whatever it's currently at, because that was like just an issue with launching the game. Now it's fixed in this next, and you can get that by doing the 5.13 Proton and going into the betas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of GE, they also imported a fix from GE into mainline Proton as well. The Sirius M4 flickering that was fixed in GE, now it's fixed in 5.13 proper as well. So that's handy if you want to play Sirius Sam and not want to have to create the compatibility tools defaulter and forget what fucking what subdirectory it exists under, like I do every time.
A couple of updates. They've updated DXVK to 173, F-Audio to 2012, and Yakuza, Like a Dragon, Soul Calibur 6, Lords of the Fallen, and Hammering Time are all, once again, playable. What's Paradox Game Launchers? The hell's that?
That's the...
Outside of, like, obviously what it says on the tin.
Right. I think it's just the, like, for Sins of a Solar Empire and stuff like that. Okay. I don't know. Whenever I hear Yakuza Like a Dragon, my brain just cuts to like a virgin.
You know that it's a Yakuza game. There's probably a play on that at some point. Right?
There probably is.
In karaoke.
Yeah, I tend to steer clear of Proton G on some games because of the fact that they disabled the little workaround that Proton does that makes so that even if a game is trying to full screen to like 1080p and you have a UHD screen, instead of resizing and changing the actual resolution of the screen, it just creates a window that's that and then upscales the thing. That's the thing that Proton does that's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And GE absolutely needs to...
GE also
back.
Has the added benefit, though, of games will work with it when they don't work with regular Proton. So
there's that. I mean, you gotta take it, but I mean, come on, you do have that adventurous flutter in your empty chest cavity every time your monitor blinks and you're like, oh, yeah. Where are we going with this?
Yes,
and it's really cute when it bounces back at like 720p or 43-inch UHD.
Oh yeah.
Good times, but it is the season for client beta updates on December 1st. What do we got?
Yeah, December 1st comes, it allows videos on YouTube.com to autoplay in Steam client and overlay browsers.
Yay! Because
that was a feature that everyone wanted it. There was something for Windows there, and they fixed some controller input issues for games that... effectively browser games that were being sold through Steam, and the PS5 controller was not turning off even if you left it inactive. It would just stay on. Honestly, I don't think I ever ran into that because I always turn it off by holding down the PS button there. So I don't know.
I don't know, but you kind of called it last week. I realized that this is their standard MO, but I mean, every time they say, hey, we got more than 8 controllers working, it's I hope to my in my little black desiccated husk in my chest that it'll work, it'll stay fixed, and apparently it's not working.
I
want
to know what type of like feedback that they're getting with this to like who's out there going, nope, shit's on fire, yo, because
the eight dragons devs, that's who.
I guess because it's just a, I don't bring it up because it doesn't affect me. At most I'm gonna have 2, possibly 3 quit sniffing directly into the mic, Jordan. You're also getting a little seizure-y with your video, too.
Am I?
It's going to be fun.
It's getting worse.
Yeah, we got our fingers crossed that you're going to know during a recorded segment.
Excellent.
But, yeah, I want to know what's breaking, or because I've never noticed, like, while it was enabled, I've not encountered issues with just regular Steam. And I'm not like, oh, something's wrong. And it's like, okay. Mysteries. We may never know. But, Pedro, your dead cells, man, they keep on updating this game.
They do. Yeah, they have a new paid DLC coming out this year, or paid? Coming soon anyway. Yes. They kind of have been doing the Hollow Knight thing, though, because they've been putting out tons of free DLC. They've been adding expansions and biomes and whatnot. And they're like, hey, you know, in order to fund this development, we're going to ask you for $5 every couple months. So, yeah, this is to fund some more free updates. They add two new biomes, some new areas that interconnect so that you can vary up your playthroughs if you're getting stuck on areas or if you're tired of them. There's going apparently they have about another year of content planned. At least in what they have in the tank right now. Yeah. Praise the sun. But yeah, they're continuing to work on it. Maybe we're going to start seeing development on Dead Cells 2 at some point, if development on 1 is starting to peter out. Or maybe they're going to do the Hollow Knight thing in perpetuity, and then people get really, really mad when they make a new game. They're like, hey, can you pay 20? 3 years later, can you pay $20 for a bunch of new levels? No, I paid for it once.
They're just milking the player base. It's unfair. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah, they've been doing that since the game released, basically. It's because even when it was in early access, Dead Cells was awfully popular. It's like a chunk of the internet discovered what roguelikes were when this game came out. It's like, really? Because this has been around for a while. But yeah, no, it is a genuinely good game, and you can play it on SteamOS / any version of Linux that you have running the Steam Compositor if you install Steam Compositor Plus, because if you don't, then the overlay doesn't work and you can't use like Steam controller, you can't force Steam input for, say, using with a PS5 or a PS4 controller.
Or you could just, you know, play it with Proton.
Or you can just play it with Proton and everything will work out of the box.
Yeah. There's that. Proton has multiple benefits. It's not always just about playing your Windows game. I think Proton's a boon for like backwards compatibility.
Yes.
Well, yeah. It is. There are a ton of old ass Unity games that, like, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Shit was broken when they were officially supported. Good luck getting something fixed now, right?
Oh, man. So we're going to be talking about something that for all intents and purposes, I should love, because, you know, it's like squad-based tactical shooting. And, you know, I genuinely wish to myself, I'm like, man, because we went through like a Linux gaming dark age. It was about 10 years. And really all we had were games based off of the Quake 3 engine. That was pretty much it. Variants. I got excited when I saw something like Q3 Rallied. I'm like, well, at least it's a driving game based off the Quake 3 engine. But man, I was first-person shooter cooked out, kids. But being burnt out of the genre just doesn't necessarily stop me from being able to appreciate it.
Well, that may not stop you, but I used to play a lot of Counter-Strike Source back in the day. And Global Offensive, I never really got into it. Yeah, I have like 70 or 80 hours into the game, but that's about how long it took me to go, oh, this is all that it's doing new? Okay.
I doth protest, because if I get 70 or 80 hours into something, I know some shit about it.
My problem with Counter-Strike.
I know enough about it that I'm pretty much done with the game. It's not that I'm burnt out on FPS. It's quite the opposite. I very much like FPSs still. It's 2D platformers that I can't do. But hey, if you're one of those people who likes Counter-Strike Global Offensive and you probably figure that the game is getting a bit stale at this point.
What if you need an operation for your broken wing?
Then you need to play Shadow Warrior.
Then you need to go talk to your doctor. But this is Operation Broken Fang. It's a Game Pass, the same that other games already do, that they have for every season. There's like a pass that you buy, and you get access to new missions, new skins for your guns, basically the usual stuff. The big difference here is that you have a selection for every like set of matches. If you're playing competitive, you get to pick which maps you're going to play on, and you both teams get to vote on which maps are banned, which maps are safe, and then there will be a variation on the ones that only get one vote one way or another. So yeah, it's basically more content if you really want to keep playing Counter-Strike Global Offensive, and a lot of people seem to. It's the most popular game on Steam right now.
You know, we got to give Valve and everybody involved like massive credit, because they roll these things out and there's never any issues with them.
No, it's pretty good.
No.
one thing that kind of disappoints me about the update, though, is like Danger Zone gets some new missions, they get some new stuff to do, but no new maps. And I really like that mode. Like my problem with Counter-Strike was that I grew up playing it with people who played nothing but Counter-Strike, and they got way better than me real fast,
because
I was interested in other shit. And so these were the people I would hang out and play with, and they'd just routinely kick my ass, and I wasn't able to bridge the skill gulf, because I don't want to devote the next 3 weeks of my life to just getting good at Counter-Strike. Danger Zone threw in a nice little wrench to the formula, but now there's only three maps for it.
Defense point, there was
Pedro Mateus. I said there's never any problems for Valve releases.
No problems.
Yeah, there was a bit of an issue. If you were on Linux, even if you bought the thing, when you went to redeem the stars that you get for the new pass, it would go, no, you can't. And it wasn't just Linux. The same thing happened on Mac. But this has been fixed. They have actually now fixed it.
I love how one of the fixes is like, man, somebody could slap that person.
there's always that one.
It's not. Yeah, the next comic is work on Mac 100%.
Yeah. The issue was with the interface, because the Linux version, for some reason, didn't get the slightly revamped interface to account for the new Game Pass. So that's why you couldn't redeem for the stars for the rewards. But with the new interface working, it's now working properly. So yeah, there's slight issue there.
Hey man. That was fixed very quick. So where are we at with prophecies? What would be a good prophecy?
I urge you to read into it, I guess.
An urge. Prophetic urge. Is that what you can blame it on? What are you blaming? Prophecies.
I got an urge to surge, and it's hurting my verge.
You should never, have to finish a sentence with officer. The Skylia?
I read it as Skylia, at least. Made by Ezekiel Rage.
Sure, we'll go with that, because it's magic monsters, dungeons, atmosphere, and brutal difficulty await. Oh, look, it's extra pixel. Yay. Okay. Well,
it looks very Castlevania-y.
It's very, very, very Simon's Quest.
It looks like if you told a 5-year-old to draw it from memory.
You describe Castlevania to a 5-year-old, okay, and then you ask them to draw it.
What do we have here, kids? Let me tell you what we have. We have hipster pixel action role-playing goodness. And if you scroll down a little bit, they're like, warning, there might be some naughty nudity and sexual content and adult themes. Hide the kids, but let's go slay some shit. Blood everywhere. Rated E for everyone. I went down to the requirements. Now, we're just looking at the video. I was looking at the background, so I was like, yeah, background art's pretty decent. The main character, on the other hand, looks like Prince Adam with a few extra chromosomes, man. just, I don't know, man. Maybe it's $20. Ooh, it's not early access. Yeah. I'm going to go down to the requirements, because this requires the always elusive, I urge you to. I don't, who makes that model?
I don't know, maybe the same people make the preferably video card.
I urge you to.
Maybe that's some new shit, some development at NVIDIA, man. We just don't know about it.
There better be some sick-ass beats in this game, or else, like, I went and bought a sound card. I went and bought a PCIe sound card for no reason.
Right.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Visuals wise, it looks about on par with like a Super Nintendo Castlevania game.
I'm always hesitant when I see somebody describe their own game as beautiful pixel art.
It's people who describe their scripts as hilarious.
And I completely misread that as tough as nails nudity. And I
Tough as nails nudity, man.
Perfectly, those like, nipples lost, gained glass. And lost interest at the same time. Like, so, wait, oh.
I don't know. Sounds like maybe you need to whiz harder.
I wish him best luck. If you get a copy, go play with it. Try it out and send us some feedback. Tell if it could... Because sometimes maybe the graphical fidelity is not perfectly, but the gameplay is. Then you got something that just looks gorgeous. What was the like heavy metal goth pixel thing that was?
Oh, Slain?
Yeah, yes. Back from L Edition. It's like, that's not even better, but it looks nice. Plays
it, like, it looks
yeah,
great. It plays it like looked a butt.
All right, but no.
Indeed.
This is. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I don't even remember what I was going to say. I lost my train of
thought. That's what
God
I thought.
Good times. Damn you. I need to whiz harder. Yeah, this is the Wizard Whiz Harder Edition. They sent us some keys for this over at Creator Connect, so we gotta thank them for that. Yeah, and it is a turn-based dungeon crawler with a gesture-based magic system, which means
how does that work?
So you fill out circles on a grid, and based on the circles you fill out, you cast a different spell. I think that works a little bit better. There's another game with freeform magic like that called Magicka, and I found the big problem with that is
that like
by the
drawing
time you
shit in Trine?
No, this one had you like do DDR patterns, but like by the time you get your spell in, like you've died already to get your good spell. So having it turn based and letting you decide from that, I think it's probably the way to go. One thing that threw me for a loop: this is not a roguelike. There are designed levels.
Oh no!
Someone's yeah, they're adding a level creator. That's what they're saying. That's one of the planned features. If you buy into the early access here, they're going to do Mario Maker style level design, which I think is actually a good thing for games like these, like give people the ability to screw around and make their own content efforts. It's
a turn-based puzzle RPG, and yeah. I actually didn't realize that it wasn't early access when I shot him an email. So, big kudos to Hypnotic Owl for being cool about it. Look, I just went through the new releases list and went, oh, that looks all right. Who makes that? Okay.
Hypnotic Owl
is out of keys, so, yeah.
That's nice, honey. Please leave in your room. Mom. Aw. It looks interesting. Maybe we'll be able to play around with it and keep you apprised of development. I'm curious as to what the hell a gesture based spell thing is, so I'm going to play with it just for that.
It's like Hammer Fight, but with magic. You just flail your mouse around.
Yeah.
You mean clean your desk off, step one.
Yes. Flail your mouse around.
Get everything out of the way. First step, yeah.
I need to go back and tango with that bastard. the trackball. I might be able to play it.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. I mean,
that's like the one game that actually works better with a trackball than a regular mouse.
I might stand some chance with it. All right. Let's do that.
Yeah, coming up next, DXVK gets a new release, Godot gets a new release, Unreal gets a new release, and I can finally play Zelda 2.
Get some really?
Finally.
Oh, okay.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
Wouldn't you like to know what we've been up to in between these segments? You should watch us live. Then you would know exactly. Yeah.
Choo, choo, choo.
Jordan's been sneezing a lot. Yeah, you can totally watch us live if you'd like to catch all the in-betweeny bits, or you can just watch the full unedited version to get the whole experience after the fact.
What do you mean full unedited version? How would I do that?
I mean, there's sound effects on that sneeze.
There is. It might have been digitally enhanced or altered. We've replaced the sneezes just with walkie-talkies.
Yeah, needs more ATSTs, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, we got, I don't even know anymore. Come check out our Patreon, patreon.com/TheMixedGameCast. It's a good way to support the show. There's your non sequitur. Just $1 a week, you get access to our Discord channel. You get access to the pre super showzone, which is a pretty nice extra hour of Linux gaming content.
Bonus
you
content.
Can watch that. Yeah, you get our RSS feed for that. You can watch it on YouTube or you can listen to it on Discord. There are many, many options for you to consume it. It's great. A little bit more, $2.50 a week, and that gets you access to the show notes. You can suggest stories. You can issue corrections. You can give us your hot takes, and we might talk about them on the show because they're in the notes. They're what we're reading off of. Right now, this entire thing is scripted, by the way, including this speech right now that I am saying.
So meta.
So meta. We got a store. Yeah, we got a store. Store.lakescreencast.com. Go buy some merch. I have one of our shirts on. You can't see it because the camera made me a tiny little box now. Yeah.
There.
It's the Steam! It's the Steam update! Professionals.
We got merch. And yeah, which one did you have?
I have Use Me.
They Use Me.
Use Me. Nice. Oh, we got masks.
Oh yeah, we do. See, it turns into that when you put it on.
Magic.
If you want,
it turns into the Fell Owls.
The Fell Owls, man. Check it out, man. It's a party in the back. Hellhawks up front. We got cups. We got stickers. We got die cut stickers. We don't have die cut shirts. They're illegal, apparently. Yeah, come hang out with us in Discord. We got a bunch of access. We could just get a bunch of freebie. Our business model is we just basically give everything away for free. And if you like it, hey, kick us some coin. That's how we finance everything. But yeah, Discord, that's where we're at the other 6 days a week. Eclectic group of interesting people. Really, it's a interesting people. Let's stick with that one, then.
Yes. Let's go with that. Don't incriminate
they
us anymore.
They are interesting. Yes.
They will get to know you. It's a pre-built-in community that everyone's welcome to stop in. And, of course, IRC, always open. Anytime you just want to pop in there, it's at a free note. All that can be found on the web zone. But we do need to thank
Verita Nuda, yes.
Yeah.
The Naked Truth, they increased their Patreon pledge. Oh, almost forgot. We do have, we got Amazon Wish Zones.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to, I should put like a new webcam on there or something.
You should. You should put a Sony A6000 on them.
Yeah, maybe someone will pay $1,400 for me to get a nice DSLR. Maybe it'll be one of you. If you buy Ben some stuff, you get your name on the flashy wall behind him, too.
We do have a fine upstanding cannibal wall. I worry about that. We have like a little wish zones if you want to help out, kick some speaking of like eclectic stuff, it's on both of their list. Jordan's always down for some face mask shenanigans, tuned in last week's pandatastic episode.
It's a pandemic.
There's a lot of stuff. The studio list on Amazon, also there's a list I've made for Amazon because I don't like using things the right way, but like everything we have currently in the studio is on like our gear guide thing. We're in, it's like an influencer thing, whatever, but it's all listed and categorized. Some things I don't put on the studio list simply because I know if somebody bought that and spent that kind of money, I wouldn't want to talk to them again. I'd be like, what's wrong? I mean, extra wrong with you. But you do get the option to send us a note. These are the ones I've read over the years, and don't be tasteful with it.
Not even right. Literally, if you can make us read whatever you write on those notes, I'll read anything that won't land me in jail. So get creative.
equals D tilde.
I will read the next one that comes this way with extra emphasis, as long as it insults Pedro.
Ooh. All right.
Okay.
you're just going to get a bunch of like random shit with just Pedro insults on it. It's going to be fantastic.
I don't care, man. Whatever. As long as I get to see what I get out of it is straight up insulting Pedro. The other stuff's a bonus soda. Yeah. It's going to be great. All right. Let's get into the actual regular ordinary news. Man, we can start that off with a little Dix Fix, baby.
Brand new Dix Fix. It made its way into the new Proton release that came out earlier in the week. Not 173 is out. You got an EverQuest fix and you got a Trine 4 fix. They're really taunting us with this Trine 4 stuff. They really want us to play Trine 4 The Nightmare Prince because that's a quality gaming experience, you guys. There's some D3, D9 fixes as well. They added the new DXGI interfaces that Windows 10 introduced in an recent update. And yeah, that's kind of it. There's a new build requirement, but if you're consuming it through Lutris or Proton GE, you don't really got to worry about that. It's available. It doesn't fix the Assassin's Creed I care about, because that's on the other project where they implement the DirectX with the Vulcans, but...
You know, is it one of those things, because I know it is playable under Proton. I've seen people streaming it under Linux.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a DirectX 11 flag that I just did not find.
I'm sure it requires some level of playing with it that you just couldn't be fucked with, but yeah.
That's very possible.
Yeah, the only thing that I saw that kind of piqued my interest was the optimize the redundant render target clears. And some games were apparently running into performance issues with that. It's like, can we have a list of those games? Because I've run into a few where with just regular DXVK, the performance seems to be worse than with just wide without DXVK. So...
Can I get a tally on, is anyone else just like moderately surprised that EverQuest 2 is still a thing?
No. Not really. A lot of those old MMOs have a lot of fan servers still running. It's not, even if it's not the official ones anymore.
Okay, here's another real question. Is there a higher player count on EverQuest or EverQuest 2?
That's a, you know what? That's an over-under. Send us some hate mail with your bets. Right. We'll look it up next week.
I think Ultima beats both of those.
Ultima Online? Yeah. Oh. I don't know. The one thing that's a little disappointing with this release, I mean, again, it's kind of stabilized, but we're not seeing any new big game fixes, but I guess that's what you get for being
this
in December.
This is the best thing to introduce right before holiday break.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's on DX12 now, anyways.
There aren't those many big games coming out at this time of year because it's the holidays.
I'll go right back and say it, though, man. You think about it. The fact that DX12, I'm still getting over that it works, period, much less that, you know, games are playable with it.
Right?
Yeah. It's the future, bro. Goda.
Yeah.
Godot. 2D. Oh, Interface. Check it out, man. Several improvements for the upcoming 4.0 release, man. They're going to be, it's just better performance, better lighting, better materials, and a 2D GPU particle system, Jordan. What?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, a lot of 2D games now are actually just 3D games that they just lock one of the perspectives, so it makes sense. That, right?
Go figure. Man.
There's a brilliant screenshot of the Zelda GBA remake that they put out on the Switch, where they like show the top down and they show like the side view, and everyone's on like this really weird angle to get the isometric view. But yeah, so I mean, 2D has been Godot's bread and butter forever, so it's good to see that they're working on improving it. 2D Vulcan, man, it's a thing.
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at this. You know, updates to canvas, masking, clipping, sign distance fields for 2D, and hey, man, 2D directional lights and shadows. That's kind of cool. I'm glad to see that. But well, let's talk about like the.
The footer.
No, the you know when you're playing a 2D game that's really been modeled in 3D, how many times have you been playing them? It's like, this would be better in like first person, or
yeah,
maybe I could move
quite a few actually.
This goes sucks.
It's like, you clearly made this in 3D. Let me reorient the camera, please.
A little bit.
No.
Oh, trust me, I'm sure the Trine people are like, we tried that.
The Trine people tried it. They're just not very good.
Well, it was their first attempt.
Every time I do it and I fail, it's a practice.
And apparently their last attempt. And that was just chapter one. And yeah, no, they just kind of fucked off with that.
Do with chapter one.
Chapter one of one.
One. Yeah. We got some updates for the hot Sony hid.
For the true Dark Souls pros.
Yeah, the true Dark Souls pros who play Dark Souls and speedrun it with Guitar Hero attachments, yes.
So what was going on with the... I was on Twitch and I posted in our Discord earlier this week, and it's like, oh, look, Let's Plays, they're doing like the speedruns of Dark Souls, and there's a bunch of people playing Dark Souls. And I just posted, yeah. I was like, Pedro probably watched that.
Sure, I did. Yeah. I saw like three or four people do about an hour long run killing all the bosses because they were doing boss runs, mm-hmm. and just like getting through the whole game without dying and killing all the bosses. Dude that made it faster was like an hour and 2 minutes. That's fucking impressive.
That doesn't impress me as much as the ones that do it with no damage.
No damage on the Donkey Kong bongos.
It's even worse if you do the no hit run, because you can't be hit at all. Even if you don't take damage because you raised a shield or the armor soaked up enough of it, it's no hit. You can't be hit. If you're hit, kill it, start again. And some dude actually managed to get through Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3 without getting hit ever.
Using the same input for all three games?
Yeah.
They did one of those for Pokemon, and that was like real fuck. Or no, it was Mega Man, where they had like three generations of Mega Man, and they had like the tasks do the same inputs on every single game, and that was what they needed to be to do. It's crazy what some of these speedrunners can pull off. But it's good to see that we're getting some kernel support for some Guitar Hero controllers. I'm sure the Frets of Fire community are real happy about that.
Well, hey man, you can think about it. The Guitar Hero Live PS3 and Wii U dongles. They're just going to start working eventually, right?
They will. The committee has been submitted by Pascal Giard, who comes from the Quebec's École de Technologie Supérieure. And yeah, it makes those old USB dongles work on Linux. And I like his little line at the bottom. It's like, interestingly, the Wii U and PS3 dongles share the same vendor ID and product ID. So they just literally use the same one.
It makes sense, right?
Why make two peripherals for two different consoles?
One has to imagine after the great Guitar Hero crash of the mid-aughts. They had a bunch of those laying around.
Yeah. So. Why do you think it's a Dark Souls Run category? It's because they have them run.
Everyone has one. Hey, we got some good news, man.
Wasteland 3, it's coming to Linux with version 1.3.0. They put out a blog post where they also, the current patch is 1.2.0, and they have links to the release notes and everything else. They have Brazilian, Portuguese, and Italian localization coming. And of
Italian,
course,
Portuguese.
Mac and Linux, it's similar enough, I guess. They did promise when they released the game that, yes, we will have a Linux version, just not at the same time as the Windows version. So they will be targeting that on Steam and GOG with patch 1.3.0. So we get to look forward to that next year. I still need to finish Wasteland 2, but I'm very much looking forward to this one.
Me too. All those ranks in toaster repair have to be for something, right?
Yeah, no, they have to do something. I have a character that has max toaster repair.
There's always like the garbage skill in the RPGs. Like, no, this is actually the best skill. I put all my ranks in it.
It has to be, right?
It unlocks all the hidden dialogue.
Cost fallacy. It has to be.
I'm so glad to see that they've... I mean, we all kind of knew that they were going to make good on this because, you know, Wasteland 2.
It's an exile. Unlike now, Obsidian.
Crow team.
Well, so here's the thing, though. Do you think that this is going to be using Vulkan?
If they make it in Unity, probably.
Maybe. It does have that magical click export button.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that. I think we'll see on that, man. I mean, you know, I'm 100% Wasteland never was my bag. I know you two enjoyed it, so I'm just, you know, I'm glad it's... Wasn't that... Wasteland 3 was crowdfunded as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that one was Fig, though, not Kickstarter.
Yeah, it was Fig-funded.
Okay. Remember Fig.
Yeah.
That was some crazy justice.
There's also apparently some DLC coming in 2021 as well, so, you know, maybe we'll get a bit of a bundle going on, so who knows?
So... This next story is harkening back to my childhood when, you know, you had like three, possibly four NES games, and one of the games I had, a beloved game, was it a golden cartridge? No, not that one. The one everyone hated, Zelda 2. This is Zelda 2 Redux. It's a ROM hack, but come on, I'm going to slide this in because technically we can play it on Linux, man. They fixed a lot of stuff in this, man. Like the room in the Great Palace has been modified, so now like you can get to the room with the moves from all routes. There's no more dead ends in that. They've reworked the HUD, so it looks more like a regular Zelda game. Manual save features, and now all the enemies give out XP. Happy to see that. I was going to tango with this on Friday. I just never got around to getting everything set up and legally downloaded, Nintendo, because you make ROMs available, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to get everything patched. But yeah, I just wanted to throw this in because I spent an inordinate amount of time trying to get through Zelda 2, only to realize that I was genuinely spinning my wheels because you, the way to get through Nintendo, well, here we go, Freudian slip, but the way to get through Zelda 2, what's called Nintendo Power.
You needed to get that magazine.
There was shit in that game, especially at one castle with like, you have left, 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 right. Then you get through it. Like,
they have a whole whack of patches that are optional for this as well. If you want to like customize your experience to like roll back specific features, it's pretty granular. So if you want, you can dial in your perfect Zelda 2 experience, I guess. But it's cool to see that, you know, they're still working on like hacking old games and making them playable. Mm-hmm. Like there was one for Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, that like tries to fix a lot of the gameplay issues and make it like play well, like a good game. They like sped up the text. They made the day night cycle make a little bit more sense. They actually had the NPCs tell you where you need to go, as opposed to like, go check page 15 of Nintendo Power, fucko. Right?
Oh, like, man. That was such a sketchy thing back in the day. But
or the hotline. The hotline.
Yeah, call the hotline.
$5.99 a minute for Nintendo tips.
Maybe once I get done with Zen, I might go back and revisit Zelda 2. I don't know, man. I don't know. But we got to say goodbye to our friend OpenGL.
There's a new version of Unreal Engine out, 4.26, and it has a big, big list of changes. This is a chunky boy.
Dude, check this out.
Yeah, that's a big page.
What we all do, Control F, and like, okay.
Linux, and then
28 Linux entries. That's
But the big one here is they have deprecated OpenGL fully now, so I think you can still enable it with a compile flag, but by default, OpenGL
for the
is
mobile renderer. Yes,
for the mobile renderer,
you can use like EGL.
Yeah, it makes sense because, like, honestly, at this point, anything capable of running a UE4 project is probably going to support Vulkan anyways.
What type of side eye bullshit is this? Oh, we're gonna put the Penguin first before Windows and after the Android. Max up here, though. With next,
I think that's a thinly veiled fuck you.
Maybe. HoloLens, man, that's the real future. They also have a bunch of other Linux fixes in here as well. You can peruse the notes. One thing I saw just browsing through the notes here was apparently X is going to give it to you because the DMX plugin is production ready. Nice. So apparently DMX is for managing stage shows because they have a bunch of shit in here like, oh, look at here's the technology they used on The Mandalorian. We're releasing this now to like people to use. Apparently
so
people are using UE4
like, everybody
for other
of a certain age right now is playing that DBZ music video on their head.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jordan.
Actually, I wasn't until you brought it up.
But yeah. I thought it up out. All right.
Well, that's how it do. If you're an Unreal Engine developer, you got a new version to play with. But start getting good at writing Vulkan code if you want to support Linux.
That's what I get worried about because it's going to be all Vulkan all the time and they're just going to have to do a lot of under the hood to
magical Vulkan button. Yeah.
Yeah, magic Vulkan button, which is what it's going to boil down to, unfortunately, on the Linux builds for a lot of games. It's like, oh, well, I clicked export and sent it to Steam. Give me money. Can you support it? But give me some money. You ungrateful.
Did you try to run it? No.
No.
That's your job.
Right.
You buy the game and you play it. You didn't tell me what's
wrong. No, Jordan, you're what's wrong with Linux gaming.
I mean, true, but like, you know, what else is new?
One of the bug fixes that they actually brought up, which actually reminded me of one such developer who can be bothered to test the Linux version of their Unreal 4 game, which was Superland, was the fixed Linux packaging failure resulted from Lumen Key being copied locally into Gauntlet. I'm not entirely sure if they mean the game Lumen and the Gauntlet, but there was a similar issue with Superland, which was what caused the Linux native version to stop working, was that the Linux binary was actively trying to load the Windows resource file.
Basically, and if you deleted, anybody that knew the smallest amount of fuck anything about Linux could have walked into Superland and be like, derp.
It's you gotta rename a file. It's just like OBS splits, yeah, right?
Or the rename it, or just delete the Windows one, and then the thing would go, oh, okay, so the Windows one's not there. There's the Linux one, and it worked just fine.
And which is kind of insulting because developers like Linux is a hellscape populated solely by wizards I can no longer support. And like, you didn't even fucking try. Complain traffic.
No, nope, they didn't. He never even bothered.
No, but he was glad to take your money.
Yeah.
Yep. You're the problem with Linux gaming. All right, coming up next, we're gonna go into the backwoods, back in time, thousands of years ago in the future, to go through a pyramid.
Okay,
money, no. Redneck money. It's the curse of the mummy, or in this case, the curse of the sister. I don't know. We're throwing chairs at Immortal Redneck, spelled by Crema, done on the Unity engine. You can pick it up for about $20. What is it? Immortal Redneck is an FPS set in Egypt with roguelite elements, frantic gameplay, Twitch controls, and an arcade-style feel meet randomly generated dungeons, a complete skill tree, permanent death, and 9 classes with different
traits. You get to play as Tom Cruise?
Maybe. I haven't unlocked him yet, but...
Oh, okay.
You can't.
How many
Thetans the mummy
do you need to collect?
At least half of John Travolta. Oh, you need okay. at least half of John Travolta.
All right.
They didn't. We picked this up for dirt cheap. So yeah, no special thanks this week. I guess I'll start this week because I actually like this game. For Fedora 32 64 bit with the Ryzen 9 3900X and the GTX 1080 Ti launches out of the box with the i7 6700K and the RX 60 or 5700XT. I don't have the 6700XT. I'm not a scalper. Also launches out of the box. I will say though, there's a little bit of like janky screen shit that happens at the beginning that got me a little worried, but it was fine. It's like, did it work? Yeah, it worked. Controls, yeah, it's standard WASD FPS controls. You gotta scroll really hard, though. If, like, you know, normally you're like, I want to switch weapons. I'm gonna scroll up or down. No, you gotta scroll a couple times to actually do that. I ended up switching to the number keys. I really like the visual style here. All the enemies are very well designed. At one point, I screamed, oh, fuck, snake babies! Much to the surprise of everyone else in the room, and they were unclear as to what was happening. I also really like the soundtrack. I think it's kind of bumping. Fun-wise, I didn't think too much of it going in. I thought, oh, it's just gonna be another, like, random-generated shooter. But it's surprisingly fun. If you like Serious Sam-style games and want something that just throws room after room of crap at you, this might do it for you. And the gameplay loop is solid enough, in my opinion. You shoot things, you survive, you collect gold, you die because you fucked up somehow, and then you can lock more dudes with different weapons. You can increase your health, your damage, blah, blah, blah. You gotta spend all your money, though, because if you have any leftover, it gets taken away as your tax for going back in the pyramid. Difficulty curve isn't insanely high. The AI is a little dumb, but there's enemies all over the place, and sometimes the levels are just not good for you, and you just get corner fucked and you die. But you know what? As an occasional pick up and play or coffee break game, I think this is a really strong contender for something that I would just play for a couple of minutes a day or whatever. I like it well enough. $20, kind of steep. It's a little pricey for the return you get, but you know, there's a sale coming and you'll pick a month. I'll give it 3 chairs.
It's always on sale. It is on Steam after all. But over here on the GTX 1080 and the Ryzen 7 3700X, it launched out of the box. It almost holds 144 at 2560 by 1440. When you disable the anti-aliasing, no matter which one you pick, there's a severe hit to the FERPs. Mouse and keyboard and rebindable controls, so that works as intended. The main character's quips aren't obnoxious because they're few and far between, and most of the time they get drowned out by the pumping combat music, so no complaints there. As for the fun, it really is the rub here, isn't it? I didn't like it very much. It seems to do a lot of things right, and it apes a lot of mechanics from other games, which I did like very much, like Ziggurat and Enter the Gungeon. Those seem to be the two main ones that this sort of kind of creates a bit of a hybrid. And it just doesn't quite get there. Can you imagine if you were playing Ziggurat and you leveled up and it would freeze in the middle of combat while there were still enemies around you, and all of the momentum that your character has built up to that point while you're moving and doing the circle strafing and trying to dodge everything that's being thrown at you, and it would just stop. And then when you went back in game after you were done with the level up or looking at the scroll that you just picked up, that momentum would be gone. So if you were in the middle of trying to dodge something and you were low on health, you'd just die. Which has happened to me a lot in Immortal Redneck. And yeah, when your character starts moving, it's slow and it's got a bit of a ramp up to get up to speed. And whenever you pick one of the scrolls in the middle of combat, it just stops you. Yeah, that kind of killed it for me. And one thing that it does right is the opposite of what Undermine did, which is it lets you keep your money when you die. It only takes your money away. It does the Rogue Legacy thing of only taking your money away when you actually go back into the pyramid. But that makes sense because it means you can spend your money before it takes it away from you. So yeah, that's a good one. But the interruptions to the combat and the bullet spread, you saw me trying to shoot those guys if you're watching the video version from far away, and it's basically impossible. I had the crosshairs on him, and the bullet spread is basically the equivalent of trying to hit something by throwing a bullet at a spinning fan and hoping that it hits. So yeah, it's not fun for me. It's perfectly competent, but thoroughly meh. Two chairs.
Well, how about you, Ben? Well, well. Hey, man, I have buttons to press and sock puppet monkeys to look at. Shut up. Over here on Debian 10, on the thread-ripping 1920X, 32 gigs of RAM, yeah, 32 gig NVMe, 2060, non-super edition, man. Nice and clean, out of the box, which, you know, I was a little hesitant about because, hey, man, this game's from 2017. Sometimes you can run into issues with older Unity titles, but proud to report, everything's running about 70 to 90 FERPs with everything jacked up at 3840 by 2160. That's UHD, surprising performance. It even has options for people that want to use, like Asp, a controller. Yes, even including an aimbot. I mean, auto aim, it's namebot. Same difference. Now, the only real gripe is the amount of scrolling needed to change weapons, as Jordan addressed. It is laughable. Like, you think that button just doesn't work until you really grind on it. Then it goes click, next weapon. So you just use numpad or just use number keys, whatever you're going to do. All in all, nice work considering it's Unity, especially from 2017. Now, let's talk about fun, because this is a rogue light FPS. It sounds like a good idea. I'm kidding. It's a rubbish idea. You know what? It might be a good idea, but this just didn't sell me on it. I tried. First and foremost, I just want to say, a lot of love went into this. Graphics look nice. Borderline, maybe too cutesy, but just work clearly went into it. Level design, yeah, all right. But let's talk about the baddies, because the retro AI caused my give-a-fuck meter just to peg to just not to zero, to nothing in about 15 minutes. And what do I mean by retro? Well, it's my polite way of saying that AI is bad. Hashtag LGC cares. But, you know, all the baddies can do, they're going to, like, run right at you, fly right at you, or, like, stand in a corner and give you the pew-pews, man. Except for the pole-dancing mummies. They just kind of hang around, then they shoot shit at you from the corners. I gave it 2 rounds, man. I upgraded my junk, giggity. But nothing really sold me on this. I don't know why. I definitely get the Serious Sam vibe-ish, but nothing really hit me with any type of impact. I mean, this is like if Slime Ranchers and Serious Sam banged while Ziggurat filmed the whole ordeal. This would be the resulting offspring, and unfortunately that offspring is something only a mother can love, and possibly the camera guy. I don't know where I'm at with this. I don't know what I expected. I expected maybe something more to sell it, because other than that, you get props for attempting to tie in the zombie hillbilly redneck type thing. But I'd like to think maybe if you know, like $50 and some drugs, you could have gotten the rights to Bubba Hotep, which I think would have been an infinitely more entertaining game. This I'm done with. I just didn't feel anything for it whatsoever. It's competent enough, but yeah, I'm just give us some hard pass.
Yeah. So, final thoughts wise, one thing that kind of bugged me about what Pedro says is I materially don't really see the difference between like
it looks
taking
like
the
he's
money
holding
before
him, holding us in his hands.
You don't see the point of you dying with 1,600 gold and taking away all but 500.
I was going to finish my sentence, but you can argue against your straw man however much you want. What I was going to say is it still means that there's no overflow, right? Like you still need to get good enough at the game in order to have enough money to actually upgrade stuff. You can't bank. You can't. It's ultimately the same system. It's just when they take your money. I don't really see what
the
issue is.
No, it's completely fundamentally different because you, if you die, would say again. You have 1,500 gold when you die, and you die, and they only let you keep 500, which means when you respawn and you get to the store, you only have 500 gold to spend.
You get to keep most of that gold.
You keep all of it. You keep those 1,500, and you get to the store, and you have 1,500. The difference here is that you keep all your money when you get to the place where you can actually spend it, versus when you die, you get the money taken away from you, which means you have less to spend, which means you've made, effectively, no progress.
Gone. It's completely gone. So, there is no difference. You still have to over-collect. You still have to over-collect in order to progress.
No, but that's the thing. Over-collecting doesn't make a difference because it takes away all but those 500. You only get to keep a fix.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue this argument in the after shows, but we're going to peace out for the chair acquisitions. We'll see you for the hate mail.
And you probably should be watching us live, because if you're not, well, then you're probably a little
you
bit
missed
confused
the end
as to
of
how
that heated
particular
debate that I was like, this is probably going to go on for another 10 minutes, so let's do it.
It didn't. No, me and Jordan realized that we weren't going to agree, so...
No, but what you need to do is, like, cut back to just have, like, skeletons in either of our spots. We need to have that asset ready of, like, just a skeleton sitting where we normally sit, and so we just got that... except less a Hagao and more dead
later.
Person.
Yeah.
But yes, if you do have your own opinion as to how roguelites should do their monetary systems, please go on over to linuxgamecast.com.
Run more ads.
Contact
That's how.
Yes. hit the contact button and fill out the form. LGC Weekly is usually the default selection, but in case it isn't, make sure you pick that so we can get your hate mail going right here, right now. And if you're a game developer, make sure you include 3 keys or something that we can share so that we can all play the game, because if you don't, well, yeah.
3 or 300, baby, no matter how you want to rock and roll it. But we were talking last week about a humble issue with the bundle and being RAR files and zip files and having to fight around and play around with it. And Pedro's like, do this thing. And it worked. Well, one of our listeners, Impatient Ape, is like, yo, yeah. Right into that.
Bash scripts.
Got some ideas, man. Right. So this is about the Bundle Dark, baby. I like that. I'd watch that show, Bundle Dark. Disney, do it. Then, thanks for the heads up on the humble Bundle Dark Fantasy Studio royalty free music. Zip, roar, fuck up. I'm a nobody. Hello, Mr. Nobody. If you have a way to put instructions out here, that's what we're doing. Help other Linux folks get the bundle. They can use these instructions below. Hard pass, because you're not paid to be anyone's IT guy. But no, man, that's something I meant to put up. This is, just go check the show notes for this, but this basically is just, utilizing HexDump to figure out what's a RAR, what's a zip, and getting all that moved over, create the directories, and some other Linux magic, but...
A bash loop.
Yeah. Humble put up a little disclaimer. Yeah, that was their patient writes that, yeah, you need a recommended for Mac, WinRAR, and all this shit, which, right?
That's what I recommended. Install WinRAR on Wine, and then just use that.
Dude.
Pay for WinRAR.
In closing, if anyone wants to preview the music before buying, I think nearly all the albums can be heard in full on the Dark Fantasy Studios YouTube channels. That's what I did. Probably what I would have bought it anyway, just to give them some cash because I want to support studios that are like, hey, use this for streaming. Even though I'm an old dog, I always learn some new trick. Yeah, that's really cool. My solution was nowhere near as elaborate as that. I just went, like, downloaded everything and was like, unzip, and had the, like, three things that were actual zip files. And took those, put them in a folder, then I did a mass rename on, you know, I Googled, like, what's the easiest way to change all .zip to .rar, and did that, and then I just did the unrar, then I did a find and the mp3. So here's another way to do it that is a little less involved.
I think the least involved way, and I'm usually
would
the
be for Humble to unfuck the
yeah, if Humble has done a mass rename of all the files into .zips, that would have been helpful. But if you're on KDE, Arc, if you have an RAR installed, Arc will actually pick up on each individual file and figure out what it is and extract it. So if you just select everything, right click, extract.
You also don't have to use Hexdump. You could use the file utility, which is pretty standard.
Yes.
Hexdump doesn't usually come installed with a Linux distro, but file does. And it will check the magic number and tell you what the extension
is. I almost forgot. I didn't get a chance to throw it in. I was getting everything Veritanudo wrote in on Patreon, which is the guaranteed way to get a message,
get our attention,
to us outside of, like, using the contact form. You're pissing in the window.
Or sending a raven.
Yes, raven's worth. He gave a mention to something on the same topic. It was like, yo, Vin, did you just fucking forget about the Humble downloader? Which, to retort, yes, I forgot about Humble downloader. Which is that script which will just go out and download all the shit from your bundles. So that also works on music bundles, apparently. So.
Yes. I if it's just zip files, then I mean,
yeah, I used that once to download all the games that had stuff you could download. I don't think I ever used it ever again.
I honestly completely forgot about that. I wish I'd. There's your recommendation for, like, if you got to download 28 of something, be it a book bundle or in this case a music bundle, Humble Downloader. Boom. Done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Better than the bulk download on their website, which is terrible. That's the worst. The worst.
Times, man. Speaking of the worst, that's going to do it for hopefully not the worst. We can do better.
4-3-3. Linux Gamecast.
Oh, man. We got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. So I've kind of pre-queued the music. Checks out 8:30 every night on Twitch. I'm Vin Stone. Get a hold of me at Vin Stone on Twitter, or just at Vin on our Mastodon, mast.linuxgamecast.com. We're at twitch.tv/linuxgamecast. Same with the YouTubes.
Yeah, I'm Jordan Svung. I might have the file extension of a zip file. I might have the magic number of a RAR file, but I'm actually a tar.bz2. You can find me on Twitter at TheBurningFool, or you can follow me on Twitch on twitch.tv/burningfool.
And I am a thoroughly boring human being. If you can figure out the tar command to uncompress me, please do send it my way, because I could absolutely
use
it.
You can just use that.
Wait a minute. What's the command? Just to make you, like, fold up like a pretzel.
Yeah. But yes, at unaccounted4 on Twitter, if you'd like to, or at unaccounted4 with the actual number 4 on Soapbox Rice World.
Oh, man. Are we gluttonous or glutinous?
We can be both. Don't limit yourself. I keep telling you, man, you're better than that. Expand your horizons.
All right, I am bread then. Vigilant Viking is our advisor. Haplo, Justin, Mike J, Angel M, Barbara M, Scott, Mix Foxdog, Arthur, and Atomic Ass, and Mike G are our executive producers. Yeah, Mix Foxdog.
Dark Vin
MC
and
Dark,
Chicago
M2.
Kicks
MC
all
Foxdog.
Ass. It's very sexy.
Jack B, Dementor, Renault L, Rider X Machina, and Trudgy, and Veritanuda, of course.
And all our lovely chairlings. Sherving, Simcha,
Door to Door Geek, Jolly, Michael C, Jay, Martin,
Maruza,
Steve B, Steve E, Steve R, so many Steves,
Jonas,
We got a PowerShell on Linux and Library TV / Nixon's Pyramid.
That was a strange part in Assassin's Creed when Nixon's Pyramid showed up. I was like,
when giant zombie Nixon emerges from his pyramid, dude, starts shooting laser eyes.
I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of hot, but it really surprised me.
Bye.
Send us your Richard Nixon porn.
Also, yes.
Five dudes.